Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This is for November the 19th of 2019. 11-19-19. I don't know why. But we're talking about 11-11 Memories Retold. A little synopsis is 11-11 Memories Retold is a narrative adventure video game set during the First World War. Fun fact, it was released on November the 9th of 2018, 2 days before the centennial of the armistice. 11th November 1916, a young photographer leaves Canada to join the Western Front in Europe. The same day, a German technician is told that his son is missing in action. Both want to preserve their humanity and come back alive to their loved ones. This was developed by Aardman Animations and Digix Art and published by Bandai Namco. And also, fun fact, is by the same director as Valiant Hearts The Great War, which we have played on Game Chat. You can check that recording out at thegamechat.net, our website. And the director's name I will butcher, but it's Yaun Funes. Yeah, that's probably not how you say it, but there it is. Look it up. Valiant Hearts, The Great War. And we really liked that game. We gave that game. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of my favorites, honestly. One of my top 10 games played in Game Chat, like the past 4 years, honestly. So we always start off our recordings with introductions, so that way you can kind of get a feel for who you're listening to. And our question always goes along with what we are discussing. This week, the question is, since you, one of the characters later on, because we're only discussing the first part, I guess I should say, like the first half of the game. We'll be discussing part two next week, the second half of the game. And scoring. But one of the characters towards the end, so I guess towards the middle of the game, gets a bird companion, pet of sorts that he trains to do tricks. Kind of sends, you know, he can tell it to go get something, the bird brings it back to him. If you could have any bird as a pet and train it, what bird would you train own?
All right, this is Franco. I think I will go with a parrot and teach it fascinating but trivial facts that he could spool off at random.
Yeah.
Snapple facts.
Should be. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just keep giving up Snapple caps.
Name your parrot Snapple.
Yeah, there you go. That's an excellent idea.
Nice.
This is Madeline. I would train a cassowary. Cassowary is a big bird. It's not quite as big as an ostrich, but they are dinosaur-like. I was at the zoo one time. I go to the zoo by myself because you don't have to do what other people want to do. You can just see whatever you want to see.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's nice. But this bird was in an enclosure behind me, and I was looking at the smaller birds across the pathway from it, and the enclosure across that had been behind me was empty, so I thought as I walked by. And then I turned around from looking at the smaller birds, and it was just standing there looking at me, and I hadn't heard a single thing, and it's about as tall as me. I'm 5'6".
Wow.
And it has this giant heavy comb on top of its head, and they kill people. So pretty nice dinosaur attack bird to have on your side. So
that is amazing.
Probably not be able to ride it like they did Swiss Family Robinson, where she's riding the ostrich in the race. Yeah. But could definitely like train it to be like the Velociraptor Blue in the new Jurassic
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely. Next.
Hello, this is Kevin, and I would choose a barn owl.
I like it. I like it a lot. Next.
This is Chris, and not sure. I don't. My father raises homing pigeons,
mm-hmm.
and he did train one to sit on his shoulder once.
Nice.
So yeah, but that's like one of the things with the game that I kind of had issues with. Is like you can't really train pigeons to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as for a bird, I think I always had an interest in the what is it, the African gray parrots.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, if I had an option, I'd probably go with one of those.
Cool. This is Steph. I'm going to be probably a little basic with this and go with the raven. They're super smart, and I've always liked ravens or crows. So, like, yeah, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. nothing too exciting there. So we'll get right into our discussion of the game. So since we're just starting off with this game, we'll talk a little bit about mechanics. How did you guys like the controls? Did you find them okay? Did you have any issues with the controls at all?
I mean, once I found out what they were.
Yeah.
I mean, the game, you know, doesn't have that, you know, classic 2 minutes. Okay, this is how you run. This is how you crouch. Mm-hmm. How you interact. It was just like, figure it out. You get it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you always had access to the run button. Or if that just became the thing like halfway through or not. But
yeah, I kind of vaguely remember trying to run early on and not being able to, but I don't know. That might have just been me being confused.
Because I just remember like playing this and I'm like, this game really needs a run function. And I was like trying all buttons and triggers and possible.
Yeah. And
close to like halfway through, right before the war or the fight scene.
Yes.
Finally, I think it's the R2. R2?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, started working for run. You know, so much
better. Yeah, I think it did give, I remember seeing the prompt for it, like saying, like, use R2 to run.
Yeah.
But probably they were waiting until it seemed like something that might have opened up, not until you had kind of an urgency in the narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I completely understand, like, their walk isn't very fast. So there were times at the beginning I was like, you know, I don't mind walking, but then also I would kind of like to kind of hurry this up, you know?
Yeah,
get from point A to point B a little more quickly.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't mind walking, and like, I can kind of understand you want us to take time to appreciate the surroundings and everything, but your art style is just extremely distracting, and I just want to kind of move forward at this point and stop looking at things because really, it's disturbing me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why, but yeah.
So going into that, how did you feel about the art style, Frank?
Yeah, it was interesting for about 30 seconds.
Such a dismissive sound. Yeah.
And then, well, especially like you got to take your first picture and I'm like, well, this camera's out of focus.
No, the whole world's out of
focus. There's Vaseline on the lens. I can't see anything. What's going on? It's like, I thought it was ironic. It's like you're a photographer and everything's blurry. Yeah,
it's not blurry if the whole world's like that, Frank.
It's blurry to me, but hey, I understand. I like I said, I see what they were doing, but I don't know. I wasn't enjoying it. Let's put it that way.
So it's like 3D, but also like oil painting.
Very oil painty impressionist
style. Yes. For those listening, yeah, it's like it's very painterly.
It seems like from looking at
It's like
screenshots.
You watch the trailer and everything, and it's like, oh, this looks really kind of interesting. But as you're playing it, it's like, okay, I'm tired of this. Can we kind of do something different here?
Yeah.
And it was particularly distracting when you were in the trenches trying to find a dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, where am I and where am I supposed to go?
Yeah, there were certain settings that I think it worked better for. Like, I'm thinking like when you're in France.
Oh, yeah.
Or.
Right. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. Or like when you were on the ship, like it worked okay there. I feel like it might have been better for them if they would have like things closer, somehow made that less paint, like just. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit less painterly, and then as things got further into the background, made them more painterly, instead of just making everything kind of look the like
same size brush
the stroke. Same exactly yeah. The same size brushstroke for everything in the entire universe. I feel like that probably would have worked more in their favor, because like, well, I found it like interesting, and it never really like bothered me to that point. But the only time it did bother me is when like I was looking at something up close, or when I was kind of looking at the characters, and like not really people that I was looking at, but like at the character that I was playing, because you know you can see the person that you're controlling. At all times. And it was when I was kind of like going around the character, like looking at them or just trying to get an interesting angle and seeing the character, that I was kind of noticing like it did something weird with like my brain, and that like I was trying to like decipher, since I was seeing it more close, my brain was trying to decipher of like, you know, was trying to like fill in the blanks where the brush strokes weren't giving me any detail.
Yeah.
And so it kind of threw, you know, it kind of does a weird thing there. And I started noticing that like underneath the painterly strokes, that like the graphics weren't amazingly good. Like it was like almost like like early 2000s game graphics or mid 2000s, and then they just kind of put the painterly strokes over it.
Texture, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really like I was watching something. I watched a couple of small little YouTube videos from that I found on the game's website. Aardman Animations has worked on they've worked on smaller games, but they've apparently have done some work like with claymation.
Oh yeah.
That's most of what
they, yeah. Yeah. And so kind of keeping that in mind, like I was like, okay, well I can kind of see where the graphics like were kind of close to what they're used to doing, because, and they were meticulous supposedly with, you know, this whole brushstroke thing. Like it wasn't just a filter they put on, like they were meticulous with it. It added some depth to it, but still I agree that like it could be a bit like distracting at times.
Yeah. The, what they did with all the painterly stuff is basically just accomplished by a shader, which probably could have been tweaked to make it slightly less distracting. But
I don't know what process they used. I mean, it didn't really.
Yeah, say like exactly. A shader is
basically. I mean, that's something that you can do. Yeah, but like
it's just what they push. Sure. It's basically applies a visual effect to like models and stuff. Like that's how the how they end up getting like those lines that sometimes appear and disappear on the Telltale.
Yes.
Characters and stuff. That's what a shader does.
Mm-hmm.
Like Aardman themselves, they haven't done like a lot of stuff digitally. Most right. of their stuff has been all stop motion, so.
Yeah.
That probably could have also been some part of the distribution.
Yeah. And then next, I guess, what did you think about the voice acting in the game? Which does play a pretty pivotal role for those listening, because there's a lot of, especially between the two characters of Harry and Kurt, there are a lot of voiceovers that kind of take you in between the scenes and their thoughts.
Go ahead, sorry.
Chris, you go.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty strong. No real issues there. The one thing that I kind of wish, or the one thing that was kind of bothering me near the end, I don't know, I don't want to say bothering, but I kept missing out was when they were speaking, because on the German side, they were all speaking German. But they have the English subtitles down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're like running around trying to do stuff, they're speaking and like you're trying to pay attention to what they're saying, but you're kind of focused on what you need to do. So mm-hmm. I was missing out on a lot of the dialogue that was being said. So,
yeah.
But I mean, other than that, I haven't had any issues with the voice acting or anything, so.
Okay.
I like Kurt's character more than Harry. Just seems kind of, lack of a better word, flat, just, you know.
Well, that's Elijah Wood for you.
Yeah, for those listening, Elijah Wood did the voice of Harry and Sebastian Koch. Did the voice for and he's a German actor that's done a few American films as well over the years, but he did the voice of Kurt.
I don't dislike Elijah Wood. I'm trying in my brain to stop only thinking of him in the things that I've seen him in.
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of wish he would have maybe tried to give Harry a little bit more character and not just on his normal voice for Harry. Because every time he talks, it pulls me out of the immersion. Because I'm like, oh, this is Elijah Wood again.
I agree. I was telling Frank the other day that, like, I like Elijah Wood, but like I feel like the first, it gets better in the second half, and I feel like it started getting better towards the end of what we played too, like towards the middle of the game. But at first, like I found it very like monotone, kind of like there wasn't a lot of inflection. But I think that's just how he, you know, I think it was just like just him. You know, and again, that goes along with what you're saying, Madeline, that I wish that he would have, like, it probably would have been better if he would have tried to, like, be more of a character than just him talking.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know what vocal direction they're given.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. No, I agree. Whereas, like, if you listen to Kurt's dialogue, even from the beginning, Kurt's voice, like, he gave a lot of inflection to what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of like rises and falls in his voice, and you could tell when he was being like intense about something, and you can tell when he was being more casual about something, what he was saying. With Elijah, it was a little harder, and with Harry, it was a little harder to catch, you know, you didn't hear those inflections as much. Took him a while to warm up to it. But yeah, that was just my only thing. Other than that, like, it was okay. I found that, like, honestly, like, because, like, I had to watch, because I couldn't find a written, because I always, like, look through a walkthrough whenever I make the questions, and I say this every week, but I had to watch a video this week, and it was actually, like, upon rewatch and watching it instead of playing it, like, it didn't, the voice, because at first, like, when I was playing it, the voice acting at first, like, really, like, was, like, especially on Harry's side of things, like, Harry, Julia's voice actress, even, to me, was a little off, but anyways, now I'm just being picky, but moving on to my notes. What happened to my notes? Okay. The picture taking feature for Harry, because, you know, we'll go into that, the story, but, you know, he gets a camera and he, you know, you start getting the picture taking function. Frank, you were saying that it kind of threw you off because it was like the scenery, like everything else, and had that painterly effect on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was neat to begin with. But I did not find myself through the whole first half taking pictures other than when I'm instructed to take a picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just...
Didn't quite encapture you, huh?
No, because it's, you know... Maybe because of the art style, it's like... You're not, my eye's not recognizing things to take a picture of.
Okay.
You know? So, especially like at the... the first camp that Harry finds himself in, where he meets the soldier from Jas. Yeah, his name.
Jas.
Jas. Yeah, and it's like it's all really blurry. I mean, the the artillery, you know, and it's like you guys are just creating this brown stuff around them, and it's like, oh, they're digging. Oh, okay. You know, it's like. You know, and if they didn't know, they didn't tell me it was wine casks on the train, I wouldn't have known it was wine casks. You know, mm-hmm. it was just totally like these just mush of colors. So that sort of like put it to the point where it's like, yeah. At first I was getting, 16 shots a day. And it's like, or 16, you know, which was, I guess, you know, just an arbitrary thing. And it was like, I just, you know, unless they really told me, you know, to take a picture, it's like there's not much to take a picture of.
I found that, like, I didn't take a picture as much as I probably should have, but, like, I found looking around with the camera, like, told me so much more about the environment than I would have known what it was otherwise.
Oh yeah, because they have the little name, like, things that would come up,
points here of there. Interest labels,
yeah, the cues
that pop up. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting that they have a mechanic where, depending on what pictures you are mailing home to your girlfriend, is apparently telling a different story of how, like, people back home, what their impression of the war is, like how it's actually going. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when he says that when Harry finally gets to the trenches, he says, like, all the pictures that we saw at home of the trenches are of, like, smiling soldiers, and, like, everything is, like, shipshape, and it's, like, stuff mm-hmm. is blown out, and everyone's muddy and cold and filthy, which you can't really tell because of the style. Like, everyone looked the same as they had looked the whole game.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt ham-fisted they had to tell me that, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I found myself doing is when I was told, you know, or, you know, encouraged to take a picture, yeah, told to take a picture. Mm-hmm. I tried to, like, find an angle where I got as many of those things of interest in it.
Frank's like, I'm going to get them all in one shot, buddy.
Oh, yeah, like with the cannons. Why is it
impossible?
In fact, I was very happy. I had to back up and replay a chapter because I didn't like the Julia's response to my first picture.
Oh, gosh.
The heck with that. I'm going back. I said, the first time I sent her a picture, I couldn't because I'm like, you know, you're trapped in the friend zone with Julia. And
wow.
You are. Let's face it. You're trapped in the friend zone with Julia.
God.
And, to be honest, she doesn't really seem like a person worth pursuing, but yeah. Neither here nor there. Harry likes her.
Yes, Harry's in. Yeah. So I sent her, I didn't want to send her a picture of the major.
Right.
So it was like, I sent her a picture of, I think, actually I got a good shot of the second picture I took of the bird on the ship. Mm-hmm. It was wings was open. It was on the top of the pedestal. I thought, wow, this is a good shot. I'll send it to her. And then she like goes, you know, her reply was, really? A picture of a bird? Couldn't you find anything more interesting?
Yeah. And that was her reply to me too. And I just was like, yeah, whatever, lady. Like I
And then did she send y'all a picture that you took that the major took credit for?
Yes.
I
at the artillery. Yes. Yeah, at the artillery. Yes. Yeah. Photo by like, Major Barrett. Yeah.
Who knew that he was a photographer as well? And I was like Harry didn't even have any like
I was really tags, mad.
Like nothing that he said in reply to that. And I was like, really?
I was really mad.
Not gonna say anything.
Yeah. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh. That loser used my photograph. And then afterwards, Harry didn't say anything, like not even like not replying to her anything. Like nope. He didn't even like think anything or say anything. I would have been like, that's a missed opportunity. That would have been like a good like character like reveal. Absolutely. Of like if he got really angry, if he was just like, oh.
Or okay. Even like an optional thing, like you can try and go confront, like if you want, you can try and go confront the major about it.
Yeah. For those of you interested, when you're playing the second half, that when you do roll back, it automatically auto saves when you start, you know, roll back to a chapter. It automatically saves when you do that, so your progress is gone at that point. You know what I'm saying? From that point forward. So because I did that, I sent the picture of the major standing with the other soldier on the deck of the ship.
What was her response?
Sort of like, oh, that's more upbeat and just sort of like, oh, it's good to see Major Barrett. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, you know.
Still sounds like friend zone.
Yeah, the playthrough I watched, I think she sent, I think the player sent something like that similar of like a picture of Major Barrett. And it was like, maybe you want to use your photography to be more upbeat and positive. And I was like, I'm in a war zone, lady.
Yeah. I made a mental note. Send her the picture of Major Barrett pointing the gun at the prisoner's head.
Yes.
Yeah, just the point that she can't be satisfied. She can't be satisfied.
They're going to take a picture of this cute kitten that's dead.
The cat is alive still at this point.
There is a cat in the game?
There is a cat in the game.
And no, I just said that as...
You were prophesying. I don't know.
Yes, and you get to control the cat. Along with
going into story, we'll cover some points and talk about a few things going through the story of the first half. The game begins with Harry... And I won't cover like every minute detail, but... Harry's in Canada at the photography shop working. Kurt is working at a Zeppelin factory in Germany. Did you guys find it? Because in the beginning, throughout the game, but in the beginning, it just kind of like switches you from Harry to Kurt and back again without really any like explanation or any kind of like, you know.
Why they picked both of those.
Yes, exactly. Did that confuse you at all, or did it just kind of set up a mystery that you wanted to solve of sorts?
I assumed eventually that their paths were going to cross, and so
yeah, same here. I figured, well, we're telling the story of these two. I didn't necessarily assume their paths were going to cross, but it was like two different perspectives of the same war kind of deal. So I was like, yeah, it was no problem rolling with that.
Yeah. did you have any trouble, and this can be about this area or even areas ahead, did you have any trouble with navigation, like where you were supposed to go? Because the game, it doesn't really give you too much direction, but it also doesn't give you too many options. But then there are some times where it's kind of like, I'm not sure who I'm supposed to be. Like, you know, they'll give you a name, like, you should talk to this person. I'm like, I don't know where to find that person.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. And the art style doesn't help this because your pathways are kind of really fuzzy. You don't know where you can walk, where you can't walk.
Mm-hmm. And like all the trenches were mazes too, which I'm sure is accurate, but
yeah, that too. Navigate. And that goes along with the finding the car, the floating cards. It's like, is that a floating card? Or is that just a bad sparkle effect?
The floating collectibles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Frank, how many did you find? I know that you're the big collector usually.
I can say for certain I did not find them all, because when you go back, a funny thing, when you go to select chapters, there's a little number next to it. I guess it's the items you can find.
Oh.
How many you found. And okay. I know I missed a few in the first and a couple in the second. So it's like, they really got some squirreled away some places.
Oh, yeah.
And some aren't like all flashy cards. Some of them are, if you do a certain thing at a certain place, you get a collectible.
Correct.
So it's about the end of the second place you go.
Mm-hmm.
It was now like, okay, they tell you to go someplace. Whatever you do, don't go there. Go everywhere but.
Yeah.
And just search the whole entire area before you start doing your quest.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same thing with the notes. Sometimes I would like see something and I'd be like, is that a note or is that just like something else in the environment that's not accessible?
Mostly a doorknob.
Yeah, mostly a doorknob.
And there's false dots too. It's like,
yeah,
and especially in the dusty area, you'll see this thing. Oh, is that a dot? Am I supposed to interact with that? And then, no, it's just a bad sparkle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had that a couple times.
The other thing too is, if you collect them all, you get like this, I guess, special bonus video.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't, then you're screwed. And
really? That's back to God.
Get then. Yeah, because if you go into, I know on PlayStation 4, if you hit options and you go to the collectibles portion, you can go to what you've collected, and if you've collected the whole thing,
I've seen that. Yeah,
you can then see like the actual picture and get like a little little history of what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you collected everything in that part, then I guess there's a little bonus video. But
yeah,
if you don't collect everything in that part and you move on to the second part, then, or the next part, then you're screwed and there's no way to get any of those other ones.
Yeah.
No yelling.
Yeah. I saw the I just like I missed a lot. And so like I think, you know, since I went through the entire game, I think the entire game I only have like three fully accessible documents. The rest of them I found like one piece to and just didn't find the rest.
Yeah.
And I liked seeing the documents because it kind of or the ones that I saw reflected what was happening like at that point in the game. So, like, there was one I fully accessed from the trenches when Harry was in the trenches, and it was a picture of like from that war of people in the trenches, like in that area, just like soldiers sitting at a table, and I was like, oh, that's like, it's a nice simile to kind of go along with what you're seeing in the game, but if you don't collect one piece of that full document, then you are,
yep, it's out of luck.
It's so bad. It's too bad. You're going to have to do your own Google research.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And like I said, if you roll back a chapter to go find a missing piece, then your save's wiped out and it's like, you got to go catch up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although the cat did help me find one thing. There was one inside, you know where in this, like the third part where you put the rat trap down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was running around with the cat later, and I saw there was a note inside the rat trap where you put it down.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like, I would have never seen that with a character.
Yeah.
I'm sure I missed that one.
Yeah, I kind of wish some of those are going to be impossible. I kind of wish that the collectibles would have been just like you find something and it's the full, you know, like mm-hmm. you find a picture or you find a note or you find plans instead of finding like bits and pieces of it throughout.
Yeah, you miss out on
one little spot.
I like the aesthetic. I mean, it was very Valiant Heart, like, you know, with the description of what, you know, the picture was about and, you know, mm-hmm. the history out behind it. I like that, but it's like, do I, you know, if I miss one piece, I don't get this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, agree. Yeah, so, Kurt, again, works at the Zeppelin factory. He finds out that his son, Max, who, that his unit may be in danger, and that many are rumored to be missing in that unit, if not the entire unit. Kurt leaves to go and find him. And Kurt does have a wife and a child. Harry is single at this time.
Probably will and, be throughout the
Major Barrett, back at the photography shop, Major Barrett comes in. Harry is ordered to take a few photos of him with Julia, of course. And Major Barrett is impressed with Harry and asks him to come to the front or come into the war to take photos for him. I don't really know if. And I never found this out. I didn't look it up. If like who you chose at the beginning of each chapter, because you could choose either to start the chapter with Kurt or with Harry, if that even made a difference.
I don't think at this stage it makes a difference, but apparently there are like 7 endings to this game. So
there are. Wow. Yes. I didn't find that out until today.
Me either.
I was like, okay, but thankfully I got like an okay ending, so I'm all right. But
oh, you done already, man?
Yeah,
I was kind of and I don't know what the reason is or what triggers it, but when Kurt's writing his letters home,
mm-hmm.
certain things are blocked.
I think it's things you discover, and it's like people you talk to is what I understood it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I know I pretty much talk to everybody. It's like,
oh, and that you still had stuff like blocked out.
Yeah, like almost, you know, 2 out of the 3 letters. It was like there was an option which I really enjoyed. You know, whether you know you choose what you tell.
Yeah,
you write to your daughter.
To your daughter, and I really was enjoying that. I was like, oh god,
Lucy.
Yeah.
Did you go, and this can be a question for all of you, did you go more truthful with your letters home to Lucy, or did you sugarcoat the situation since she is like a child?
I think it was more truthful.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to be sensitive but truthful.
Yeah, I think I was probably more middle of the road. Like, when we were stuck underground, I wasn't like, we're probably going to die under here.
Yeah.
But I told her about the cat, and I was like, there's a cat, and it reminds me of you, or I wish you could be here to see it. Like I'm telling her the truth, but like maybe choosing my topics.
Yeah, probably the same here. To me, in my mind, I was thinking I was more sugarcoating it, because there were times where I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. I'll be home soon, even though he just told his wife in the letter that it will be a long time before he gets home. Yeah. I was like, Dad will be home soon. Yeah. But that was a very nice touch. And I think it definitely gave you empathy for, you know, for Kurt as a character. Mm-hmm. Being able to choose how you write to his daughter was very interesting. And a lot of it was about like Max and, you know, you could kind of be like, Max is in trouble, I could go and find him, or, you know, everything will be okay. So, yeah, so, oh, the music, like, around, so towards the beginning of the game, like, I started noticing the music, which was done by the London Philharmonic Orchestra at Abbey Road Studios in London.
Mm.
Nice. But I thought the music was a very nice touch in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
Yep.
And then you find your, oh yeah, with Harry, you're on a boat, you find yourself on a boat taking pictures, chatting with Major Barrett. And that's what you were talking about, Frank, about sending the picture home to Julia. After that, you sent her the picture of the bird, which was obviously a mistake.
Yeah.
And then you run into some mines. Did anyone have any trouble? Because Major Barrett tells Harry that even though he has no experience, that he needs to ring the bells on the left and right side of the boat in order to tell the person steering the boat where to steer to, because you have to like go around these mines that suddenly appear because everything was clear for 1 second. And then all of a sudden it's like Major Barrett's like, oh no. And it's like mines everywhere.
Yeah. Did anybody ring the bells before they were supposed to, like early on?
No.
I did. Did they yell at you? People are trying to sleep.
Always being a troublemaker.
It's like, what does this do? All right, I'll ring it.
Did anyone have any disasters with steering the boat? Because mine was fine.
I did okay.
Yeah. It was, it wasn't, it was just like, it's there. It's pretty much telling you, all right, go ring the left, right one. It's, it's just off the bow to the right side. So we got to go left. And it's,
It's pretty hilarious though, that this Navy vessel needs the Army.
Yes.
To tell it what to do and where to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And plus, like, an inexperienced, photographer. Just right.
We're not going even to rely on not you. Even a trained soldier. Yeah.
We're going to rely on you to tell us which way to steer the boat. This won't,
this will end well.
This will be fine. Did anyone get a picture of the ship? Because I didn't act fast enough. Like, after you get out of the mines, the HMS Dublin. You can see it on the horizon, and all the soldiers, the sailors are cheering. And I think Major Barrett's like, this would be a great picture, Harry. And I completely missed it.
Yeah, the whole 2 seconds the game gives you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, but I did
not. The playthrough I watched, they actually got the picture. So I was like, okay, it's possible. It's possible. Just I'm not quick enough. I don't guess. But I think he was already like, this player was already like, trying to like take a picture of it when he said that.
Oh, already pushing the button.
Already had his fingers on the trigger. Kurt is on a train doing various tasks as he travels to war. You could take pictures of soldiers on the train. This is kind of, I think this might be the first place where you run into the notes, I think. You start finding the notes around the
train. I found the notes in the photography studio. In the
photography store, yes, correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And the Zeppelin factory, there's a couple notes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I completely missed those notes.
And the whole listening puzzle at the Zeppelin factory.
Where you're fixing the radio.
Well, not fixing the radio. You can go to the back of the office and listen in on the conversation.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah, fixing the radio, of all you're doing is just turning the knob to the on position.
It took me forever to figure that out.
It's a genius. Yeah, there's no way. Freaking
forever.
Work right now. Oh, my computer's not working.
Oh,
let me put your monitor on.
What's this circle with a line through it? Oh, let me try that. Oh, hey, it turned off.
Oh, goodness. No, I completely missed the listening in, was it something similar like when you're underground later?
Yeah, it's a dot where it has a little an area, a plate.
Are you listening with your ear or with something?
No, the little stethoscope.
Does he always keep a stethoscope with him? Is that what Kurt does?
It's not, I don't know what it, it's like a little box with a meter on it.
Yeah, it's like a listening.
Device. I'm just wondering where it comes from. Like in this instance.
Well, what he's doing is a thing that the German forces did, is they dug tunnels down
in the underground. In yes, but Frank was saying you can do it in the back of the cabin at the Zeppelin factory.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. No idea.
The manager's office. Yeah. If you go walk around the back of the manager's office, a little dot pops up.
No idea.
That's funny.
Listen into the conversation.
It's the tutorial for what you're doing later on. Then.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. We just all missed it except Frank.
You need that in order to listen in on the blimp once it's fully inflated and everything. So, you know, make sure there's no one stuck inside and all that stuff.
No air leaks, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. It was fun. The Zeppelin factory was interesting, though. Like, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, and also super dangerous. Like, I was like, because you're going really high and you're just walking on like this, like, you know,
on the beam.
Board on the beam. And I was like, I mean, I'm sure people I've seen pictures of like people working on like, you know, the high rises back in the day, you know, in New York. So I know people did that. But like, I was like, nope, not me. Not this girl.
Nope.
There's no way. So Harry reaches Vimy, has some discussions with Major Barrett, and you were saying, Frank, that you had trouble taking pictures around this area because everything, the whole painterly effect threw you off.
Yeah, especially when you're taking the little automated car ride with Jaws.
Yes.
It's like, what am I supposed to be okay? I don't even know what I'm pointing the camera at.
Yes.
I get a look around, and then I jumped off and went around to the areas and took pictures there.
Yeah.
Because it was just moving way too fast.
You jumped off the train?
On the little train car there, just walked around and then took pictures of the area.
Okay. Yeah, that's mostly where I get my pictures, because I tried to take a couple of pictures on like when he was like taking you around on the little cart, and I was like, I can't focus. This is impossible.
It was a fun little Disney ride, but yeah.
It was.
And hard
he was
to
a great
pictures.
Host. He was a great host.
He's very, very nice. Much nicer than Major Barrett.
Yes, correct. Very, very correct. Did you talk to the soldiers as you were walking around the camp, or did you just take your pictures, do what you need to do?
I tried. You know me. I talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And although this is the part where I think when I replayed this chapter, because of the picture thing, the first time I played it, I ended it too early. It's like, I hate games that do this. It's like there's a trigger event. And if you took, you know, it's like Barrett tells you, come talk to me at the artillery, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like after that happens, it's like, okay, whatever you want to do, you're done. Okay, we're moving on. Yep. And so you're going to miss collectibles and, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, God, you know.
And Frank's like, what all did I miss? Oh, yeah, no.
Exactly. What did I miss? That's what's exactly what I'm thinking. So mm-hmm. This is when I redid it for the picture thing. It's like, don't go near Barrett until you're done.
Yeah.
So.
So eventually you're over by the captured soldiers area. One of the soldiers, what does he do? Does he spit?
He kicks the water bucket.
Oh, kicks the water bucket, right. And that apparently is a huge turnoff for Major Barrett. And he pulls the soldier aside, asks Harry to take a picture of him, aiming the gun at the soldier's head, and then tells you to leave. That he doesn't need to see this, which I'm like, he's in a war zone. Like, I mean, or going to be, like, it's going to happen. But start walking away, and he shoots a soldier.
It's a German soldier that's captured.
Yes, correct.
It's not one of the allies that he's shooting because being insubordinate. Just want to make that clear for our listeners.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the butthole, but he's not that much of a butthole yet.
Right. But the other soldier did only kick a bucket of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he definitely, you can definitely tell at this point, even though it's not really communicated that well, you know, you can kind of tell from the situation that Major Barrett has a little bit of a temper on him.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt is in a camp as well, of course, not near Harry at this point, asking the soldiers day after day if they've seen his son. Most of the same, you know, of course, it's the same soldiers every day. Poor Kurt's probably not the most liked person because they're just like, why does he keep showing me the same picture all the time? Mm-hmm. And then that was one of the probably the first times that I got like really lost somewhere. I think I went around that camp area 3 times, like trying to find something. Like, here's what I did. There were 3 different times that I got lost in this camp. One time, the place I needed to go into to talk to someone was right beside where I was. But I didn't know, I didn't go in that direction. I went in the other direction.
Yes.
So I went all around the camp and then was like, oh, it was right beside where I started.
Yes. To be fair, though, in both the Allied and the Axis trenches, there's the same type of signage, which the game has done mostly so that you can, like, kind of remember where you are. Like, periodically there'll be like a red board that's kind of shaped like an arrow, and so I saw that when I left the room with the broken radio, and I was like, oh, game signage is pointing this way, so that's where I need. No. It was like literally one door down in the opposite direction.
Some of the sign, there for a couple times I was like, maybe the signage is telling me where to be, and no, especially like later when you're with Harry in the trenches and it's just like a maze.
Yeah,
like I don't even know. Like that one, I probably went around like 3 times just to find one thing. And I was like, you had like the offshoots, you had the things going through one end to the other, like down the middle, you know, you could go all the way there, you know, all the way around. They had signs up that if you, and that's at one point I was like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to follow the signs. Nope. Doesn't take me where I need to be.
Did anybody push the cat down the well?
No, Frank.
Accidentally.
I did.
Yeah,
because
I thought I could like pet it, and then it jumps down the well.
No, I didn't.
What are you doing?
Is it the same cat?
Yes.
I think it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, I did see a black and white cat on the train too. I did notice that when I was watching the playthrough today. I was like, oh, there's a black and white cat. I wonder if it's the same one. That's just following the soldiers all the way.
What is with this game and its
anti- foreshadowing?
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Yep. Foreshadowing. And then you get to the front with Harry. Did you guys find the card game fun?
It was too easy.
Yeah. I laughed because it was way too easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I understand why they did it that way, because it'd be pretty difficult to play Slap or whatever you call it where you guys are from if they didn't. Because in the game, what they did, for those of you who haven't played, is they just have a single symbol on the card that's the big suit symbol.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be pretty hard to play it with how fuzzy everything is in this game if they had it look like actual cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was far oversimplified.
Because I'm guessing like it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be an exact match of the card. Like it's supposed to be like two of clubs.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. But all you could see was the symbol. And so you're basically like, oh, club, oh, hit it. And no one is as fast as you ever. Like, you know, everyone like doesn't like, because like there were a few times that I like was a little bit slow in the uptake because of me just thinking about something else at the time. And I was like, that's it. And no one had like reacted in any way. I was like, oh.
Jazz did before me a couple of times.
Oh.
None of the other people did.
On the draw.
I think I let a hand go by because I was if especially if there was dialogue going on. It's like I wanted to prolong it to make sure I was out of dialogue. Yeah. Knowing full well this game is so easy, I could just, you know, I can let them get up 3-0 and still win, you know?
Yeah. So what picture did you send Julia for a second time?
Jazz.
Yeah, I sent a picture of Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, I sent her a picture of, like, soldiers in working in a field.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. How did she respond to the picture of Chaz?
Oh, it's nice. You're getting to meet new people, make friends. I hope to meet him someday. Of course, this is after...
Right after he got shot.
Right after he got shot.
Nice. Thanks, Julia.
Nice, Julia. Nice.
I remember her response with the field of soldiers. Like, she was, I don't know, just like a question of, like, it wasn't a chastisement. It was just like... oh, like, you know, everyone's working so hard or something like that. I am just losing. Okay, so then Kurt's sent to the underground. And this is where, like, I started, like, getting a little more immersed into the environments, especially in the underground area and with the voiceovers about what they were saying about the area. You know, he was just describing, like, how dark it is and comparing it to their son or their their son Max being afraid of the dark when he was younger. And then Kurt starts chasing a cat underground because they don't want it, because what they're doing for digging tunnels underneath the enemy camp, and listening in, to their conversations through the tunnels, which it seems like, I mean, and I'm pretty sure this is something that they really did.
Mm-hmm. And it was extremely dangerous because they're like digging in the tiny little fingers of soil that are still there in between all their trenches. And like, most of the way these were discovered was when like they would dig just tiny bit too far and like collapse the tunnel out into the enemy trench.
Yeah, and that's exactly. Like the dirt would have had to have been like not extremely for them to hear conversations through it.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, how do you know how deep? That's the problem. It's like they got trenches, you got trenches.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have tunnels. It's like, well, how do you know how far down to go? So you're just under them, you know? It's like, ooh, this is tricky.
So you see the cat for the first time as Kurt's trying to chase it so it doesn't reveal their position under them by meowing. He hears Harry's music above, or hears them like playing music. And then which later lets him allows him to show his people, you know, rightfully so, I guess, if you're fighting for one side. Being like, oh, that's where I heard the music over there. And one of the German soldiers shoots and shoots because he can see Jazz dancing. And that's when, fortunately, he's shot.
But it seemed like that Kurt was sad. Like that he didn't.
Oh no!
It wasn't
for sure.
His intention to for like sure. get them shot. He was just saying like these are the three things that I heard, and he's like, "Oh, cool."
Yes, cool. Correct. He didn't know that the German soldier was going to for sure. But no, yeah, Kurt was definitely definitely not like asking him to shoot in that direction for sure.
Right.
So then we get to April the 9th, 5:30 a.m., which is the beginning of the battle at Piney Ridge. To this point, for this listening, you know, Kurt and Harry are basically just, you know, they're on opposite sides, of course, but so they're just like a few, you know, just not too far from each other. Did you guys take any pictures trying to follow Major Barrett through the battle zone with Harry?
That's probably
that Major Barrett requested.
And that was
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I took that one, but like I the screenshots that I got there, that's probably the most beautiful the game was, just because of the contrast of the hot white yellow from the fire coming down at you over the ridge, and then like the red of the backlit from the trenches, and then everything else was like cold blue morning color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably where the game was the prettiest so far, which is really like, I feel like that's kind of what the intention was for the mm-hmm. this choice of the painterly style, was the contrast of the impressionistic style, which is usually like pastoral or very like very peaceful, beautiful.
Yeah.
But choosing such a drab and then violent subject.
Yeah.
To be portraying. So
I can see that. Yeah, I got some. I tried to take a couple pictures. I got a couple good ones. It was definitely like, you know, they also had the score going on under this, which was usually classical sounding, you know, instrumental music, which just went along very well with it. It was definitely an interesting area to go through. Did anyone die? I there were a couple of times trying to take pictures again. I died in gunfire.
Yeah, I got shot.
Yeah, I got shot once. I only took the one required picture. You know, it's like it was very confusing. You know, especially with the art style. Like, where am I going? What am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Major Barrett would be like waving you on and yelling at you, like, "Come on, come on!" Like while you're taking fire from two different machine guns, and I'm like, "No, Major Barrett." I don't
want to
die.
Right. You have plot armor, Major Barrett. You can't die.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fine. He's just standing up, just waving his arms. He's okay. He's good.
I died once just because I couldn't move out of the way fast enough from the fire.
Yeah.
And actually, they had one thing which was factually correct, and I was amazed that they actually took the time to put it in the game. I mean, I don't know. It's just an obscure thing with the German machine guns and water cooled.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They actually, the machine guns back then actually had a hose on them and you would actually pump water through the barrels.
That was so interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at the time. And so I was like, why are they pumping water into the machine gun? But that's what I figured it was a cooling thing, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. So then an explosion goes off and Harry falls through to the underground. Kurt, close to this time, is trying to go into the underground as well down a ladder and ends up falling off of the ladder. The ladder collapses or something because, you know, of course, a war is going on. So I'm sure, you know, things can be knocked unstable very easily. And then I think they have some dialogue, and then all of a sudden, you're the cat.
Chasing the pigeon.
Yes. Yeah, because, like, the cats, it's the same cat that Kurt was chasing earlier. It's chasing a pigeon. I love this. Honestly, and this might sound horrible, but I kind of wish the entire game was the cat.
I wouldn't be upset.
It was just the music. And then the music was perfect for it. The music was like very light and very kind of like, you know, almost like a xylophone almost. It was so cute. And you could meow.
Yes. And purr. And
yes. Of course, you were trying to chase a pigeon at the time. So you did have to try to chase the pigeon in order to like move forward in the game. But, yeah.
And I don't think it was, you couldn't, obviously, I think the game was, you couldn't catch, although I was right on top of it a couple times and it just, you know, pounced, flew away. And it's like, oh, I guess you're not supposed to catch.
It was just to get you from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Kurt and Harry come upon each other underground and end up saving each other in turn and not shooting each other.
You have the, So I didn't pick it, but you have the option as Kurt to shoot Harry.
I didn't pick that either.
Did anybody? I didn't.
I was hoping somebody would, but I did not, obviously.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't sure if it was like a telltale choice. It's shoot Harry, is. And then it's like, oh no, the then gun's out of bullets.
Yeah, or like the bird flies up and then you.
Yes, but
your intent was to kill, you know, kind of.
I'm wondering if the ceiling starts to collapse and Harry pushes him out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. It might just go to that. That's a good point because that happens right after that. Yeah, so how did you like, I won't go through everything, but, you know, but so Kurt and Harry kind of are making it work underground. They find a little bunker area. They find some water, or you as a player have to help them find water. The cat is there. The bird is injured, and Harry, like, nurses it back to, you know, back to health, and to much to Kurt's chagrin, because Kurt's just like, at first he was like, I don't have the heart to tell him it's going to die, even though Harry can understand him. But then he's like, Kurt's like, it's miraculously healed. And of course they don't understand each other because like they eventually get names down, but they both don't speak another language. You know, they don't speak each other's language.
Yeah. The game kind of goes to a hard point to, you know, it's like, it gives you choices to try to, you know, talk to them.
Yeah.
And I think I redid that chapter once because of the glitch, and that doesn't matter whatever choice you picked. He still doesn't understand you. Sure. I thought maybe, the first option was like thanks or we're safe. And at first I said we're safe and he didn't understand me. So because of a glitch, I had to restart. And I said, thanks, thinking that like he would make a hand gesture or something that he would recognize. But no, he says Danke. And like, you know, Harry says, I don't understand you. It's like, you don't understand Danke? Everybody knows what Danke means.
Well, I mean, now we do.
Oh, I knew what Danke meant before then. But anyway.
Franco was around pre-World War I.
I've watched Hogan's Heroes.
Well, maybe Harry has not.
No.
How did you guys like this area? This whole...
I was really curious, like, how long they were down there.
He said weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I had to assume based on, like... They had taught the bird tricks by the time you finally start to get your way out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree. And eventually they find like a store of food, which I'm just like,
if I had to pick like the part of the game that's most interesting, we would have just done that. Like, we would have just had the 2 weeks for them to be underground with the cat and the bird trying to solve puzzles and find stuff and find a way to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been the whole game.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it got a footnote, and that's how you knew that it happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a little bit of control, like, with the finding water, and then you control the cat again, which is how you find the storeroom. But then it's kind of like right after that, it's just kind of like, we need to, like, the soldiers were finding their way down there and they needed to leave. I agree. It was very interesting. I liked the whole kind of like the struggle for communication and their own thoughts on the whole thing of like, you know, cause you would hear them, of course, you know, speaking to the player in their voiceovers and just like their own acknowledgement of the struggle for communication and just like, you know, that they kind of considered each other friends, even though they couldn't really communicate, but they were surviving together and living kind of in close quarters together with not much there was room to move around in the other areas, but like not really anything to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of interesting that through that, some of that stuff that you've, you know, Kurt being the older person is kind of like looking for the deeper meaning and, you know, trying to, you know, oh, he saved my life. He's a hero. And, you know, he didn't have to, where it turns out Harry just tripped and that's why he pushed him out of the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, Harry's just this like, I'm in a war. And, you know, and Kurt's the more serious guy. And it's like, it's just interesting. And it's continuing on through the, you know, to the end where,
you know,
Kurt thinks that, you know, the, you know, Harry's doing things to help him when he's really just happy accidents.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, Harry's not like, it's not that I don't think that he might not have done that eventually, like saved Kurt's life or maybe even at that time, but it was, he admitted it was an accident.
He's just kind of oblivious.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
He has one thing on the mind, and that's Julia. yeah, and so then the soldiers, you know, they hear the soldiers start coming in, and so they find a way to leave. They're able to, I think, rig some dynamite, right?
They find some explosives and take it on a rail car to the end of the tunnel, and of course that explosion doesn't alert everyone to their presence, of course, but.
Of course not. But they get out. We're now at August 1917, 15 months until peace. Of course, Harry and Kurt go their separate ways, which we find that out through like just like little illustration cards and voiceover. Harry is in France with Major Barrett. What?
By the way, while we get that little cutscene, the art is so much better in those cutscenes than it has been in since we've been playing the game.
I agree.
Where it's like, why couldn't we get that style in the game rather than what we got?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Harry is in France with Major Barrett, where he visits a gentleman's club and the VIP lounge. it's interesting. And of course, like, his bird has to stay outside, but then his bird eventually comes inside. And so Harry has to like chase it down. And then sees the major through the window crying as he's trying to chase his bird out in one of the terraces. And then I guess Major Barrett is just kind of like ticked off that he saw that and just starts ignoring Harry, according to what Harry tells the player. Kurt at this time is in the countryside. Through a letter from his wife, he finds out that his daughter is ill. Not like on her deathbed, but is doing, you know, pretty, you know, bad off. Not the best. But his wife asks him to come home in the letters because, you know, and, you know, it ends up that he does not. He makes his way to the cemetery where you can control the cat again. and with the cat, you eventually come across a soldier, Officer Wolfgang, that shows Kurt where the remains are of the people that were found in the unit. But his son is not there. And then we go into Kurt's dream sequence, unless you have something else to talk about.
Well,
the big one I just covered.
Kind of half plot thing was he doesn't find his son's grave, but he finds an unmarked grave.
Correct. Well, he finds an unmarked grave and he thinks, well, this could be my son. And he
digs it up.
Correct.
Yeah, he's got some remorse over that.
Wow. Digs it up. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, that's what I just realized.
Sorry.
No, like, it's okay, because I'm going to have to be there for next week. But, like, it's just, I don't know how it's handled in the game, but that just...
Well, so like, he's got the kind of mentality he has to know. He can't...
And, like, you know. I understand that, but that just still, that just seems like... Like, if you remember in Saving Private Ryan, when they're, like, looking through all the dog tags of the deceased and, like, yelling out names and laughing while, like, everybody else who's, like... Those are their brothers who died, is like giving them the death stare. Like, that's Mm-hmm. Just when, if you just say like, oh, he digs up the grave, like that's the kind of attitude that it brings.
Yeah, and he relates that in narration that like afterwards, some of the soldiers don't look at him the same.
Yeah, I imagine not.
That's true. Yeah, so again, there's anything else you want to cover with the with those two little sequence, you know, with those two pieces. Not too much, you know, other than just like story there. But then you have a little dream sequence with Kurt. How did you guys like the dream sequence?
I had no idea what it was at first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool looking.
Yeah, it was cool looking, and it's like, what am I, you know, again, what's going on? What am I supposed to be? And then you just kind of realize it's a dream sequence, and it's like,
yeah. You're playing as the cat. Everything's red.
Kind of following a ghost.
You're following a ghost who, I don't know if it said anything or she said anything, but I came, you know, I was kind of like, this is probably Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Or the mother out. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a little girl,
mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she had a voiceover. She was like telling the cat to follow her. You know, come on, kitty. You know, calling her something, calling the cat Lottie.
Or, oh, I didn't pick that up.
Maybe I might be making that up as well. but they get to the tree to a huge tree amongst this like field of red, and there's like red falling from the sky. I'm not really like blood, but like just like color. They get to the tree and she stops, which I didn't recognize at first. I didn't know what was going on when she stopped at the body, but it was like a body under the tree. And that's where the dream stopped and Kurt wakes up. And I didn't realize, I mean, again, like, cause I was like, what is that? Like what's, you know, cause it was very close. Like the camera did a close up on the body and I was like, I couldn't recognize it for being a body. Where the ghost stopped. But then mm-hmm. Kurt says so after he wakes up that he keeps seeing, I don't remember if he said his son's body, because he's writing back home to his mm-hmm. wife, and that he keeps seeing his son's, yeah, keeps having the dream. And I don't remember if he says if he recognizes it as his son's body or if he just recognizes it as a body.
Yeah, he says he sees it as his son's body.
Okay. You know, which that's, given what he's doing, trying mm-hmm. to find his son, that, you know, and then his daughter is sick, because that whole thing plays in the background as well during the dream, is his wife writing to your daughter's sick, please come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the moment where he was like, I can't, I have to keep looking for Max. Like, I can't come home. So Kurt is, because he's been fighting to be transferred to Somme. To the German front line, which is just one. Oh, I think, well, he is in Somme when he wakes up from the dream, because he's just outside no man's land, which is where he thinks that tree is.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of runs out into no man's land by his lonesome.
Yeah. I was like, at that time, I was like, really? We're doing this?
Oh, God. Okay. I was like, we're going to die. And I was expecting it to be so much more like intense or stealth than it was. Like, it was basically you just like running into it. And then you see two soldiers by the tree. You control the cat and you have to distract the soldiers with the cat, which was what was adorable, that the soldiers were like, oh, it's a kitty. Here, kitty.
And enthralled with the kitty while he's sneaking around the battlefield.
But, you know, no landmines go off, thank goodness, even though I'm not sure how historically accurate that is, but it was called No Man's Land for a reason. But, you know, it was pretty. It was full of red flowers or
poppies.
Poppies, mm-hmm. Yes, correct. So it's very pretty to look at. Were you relieved that he didn't find, he found bodies there, and he did find a body by the tree, but it wasn't his son. It was a good friend of the family, their son. I think from his town, I think that, I think he said that his parents lived, you know, they were from his town. Because most of the people in this unit, of course, were like from, you know, from the same area, and knew each other. Were you relieved that he didn't find his son's body there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I definitely felt enough empathy at this point to where like I was interested on, and like I was definitely interested in like Kurt finding his son. Like, you know. It was definitely, I think, the driving narrative in the game at this time.
It was important that he found, I guess, three bodies from his company, and they were from his village. So
correct, yeah. And he did drag the body that he found at the tree. He drug it out, rather than just leaving it there. Since he knew that, since he knew his family so well. Mm. Harry is at a camp 3 miles away from Kurt at this time, just using his bird for shenanigans.
Yeah, Harry's having the time of his life, and it's like
Harry's just, you know, Harry's
fighting a different war.
Harry's on a different side. You know, probably fighting a different war than most of the people, even on his own side. Like, you know, like he's just there taking pictures, you know, not really a soldier. And
not much of a journalist either.
All of the soldiers are having him, like, you know, do tricks with his bird because that works, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
he's ordering the bird to do something, and the bird goes and grabs Major Baird, asks Harry, demands Harry to get his like book for him, to get his plans and fetch his plans for him. Well, instead of Harry going over there to it, he sends the bird to fetch them. And the bird gets a flight of whimsy and just kind of takes the plans away and to Kurt.
All the way across the battle line, yeah.
All the way, 3 miles, yeah. Yeah, 3 miles away.
Just like they used to do when they were trapped in the same room for 2 weeks.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Because 10 feet equals 3 miles.
Yeah.
The bird chose that moment with the plans to take the plans over to the enemy in enemy territory. Of course, Major Baird's furious. And that only like cements like him just like not giving a crap about Harry. Of course, Kurt, you know, the bird flies right to Kurt. And Kurt, of course, turns in the plans and thinks that Harry sent them purposefully, and then sends a note back with the bird of what he told, what Kurt would tell Harry in the underground of Donkey Hero. Thank you, Hero. Mm-hmm. Of course, Harry's like, wouldn't you know it? Like, gosh darn.
Golly gee.
Golly gee, that bird.
Jimmy Olsen.
Went all the way to Kurt on the other side. and all the soldiers were mad at Kurt. Harry. I'm honestly surprised no one killed the bird. Like, yes. I feel like that would be a reasonable response, especially with Major Baird. I feel like Major Baird would have been like, that bird is dead.
Yeah, like, get that bird.
Yeah. Like, as soon as that bird came back and landed on Harry's shoulder, bam, like, you just stand right there, son. Stand right there. The bird's gone.
So I will say, I did not first pick up that the bird had taken the papers and had flown off at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was picturing, like, I had taken this as he had picked up the plans and flew them back. And then Major Baird was so impressed with that they started training the pigeons to send messages, and that this bird sending these messages and not the same bird grabbing the plans and sending them over. Thing too is that no bird would be flying this close to blimps or planes or anything like that.
Yep.
He does. He does fly. I mean, it's a beautiful sequence. Yeah. It's a beautiful sequence.
Yes.
At first, I
didn't realize you could control them. I was just watching them.
Yeah. I mean, control is a very strong word, Frank. You're basically just like letting it glide a little more to the left or a little more to the right.
Yeah. You're going to end up in the same place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very beautiful. But I agree, Chris. Yeah, and it did have that whole kind of like the bird picked up the plans, and it kind of like I think like faded to black for a couple of seconds, and then the bird was flying. So it did seem like, oh, this is another, like for a second, I think I was also like, is this now or is this like another instance of the bird flying? Or is this like metaphysical, because we just had the dream, not metaphysical. But is this like subconscious or something? Mm-hmm. Because we just did have the dream from Kurt. So is this something that Harry is dreaming? Like maybe this is how he feels, like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, I can see that. And then we Chindale. I don't remember Kurt. I think Kurt at this time just kind of says, I think that's when he's telling his wife that he's going to keep looking for Max. And then that's where we kind of stopped. Anything else that we missed that we didn't talk about that you guys want to talk about for this first part? I think we covered it pretty well, but.
I was just going to say, I found it an odd juxtaposition between, you know, Kurt, who's slothing through, you know, the trenches, trying to find his son, and, you know, and going through all this hardship, and Harry's just sort of like, I'm just finding Kurt's story so much more, involving and, and personal and stuff like that. And Harry's just sort of like, I don't feel anything for Harry because he's like, derp through the war. And it's like, you know, I'm in Paris. Whee!
Yeah. It is interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Madeline.
I was really expecting, like, after Major Barrett shot the enemy soldier, that Harry would have, like, a little bit more guarded approach, and it would be, like, kind of, like, maybe even gradual, but it would be a little bit more of becoming less and less naive. And it seems like that really hasn't happened so far in the story. So it's kind of confusing what his arc is supposed to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can understand that, Frank. There's a few different, they could have been trying to like two different types of audiences, even from the beginning, even like when they first like met each other, Harry and Kurt I was kind of like, oh, well maybe this is like supposed to be like his kind of like place card son, you know, a substitution for the loss of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're trying to make him more youthful, but yeah, like it is kind of an interesting juxtaposition. And I won't reveal if it changes or not for the, I'll be good.
But, okay.
So next week we were talking about the second half. So just play until you beat it. Probably another, like, I think probably like 2 to 2.5 hours. We'll be scoring it next week. December the 3rd, which is coming upon us, will be our next month chat, which is Celeste, which is available on Steam, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Itch.io. Little synopsis is, help Madeline survive her inner demons on her journey to the top of Celeste Mountain. In this super, super tight platformer, I'm trying to read script that's like 12, that's 10 font. This is my own fault. In this super tight platformer from the creators of Towerfall, brave hundreds of handcrafted challenges, uncover devious secrets, and piece together the mystery of the mountain. Definitely what does say a super tight platformer. It's definitely a platformer. Also, don't forget if you're playing Dragon Age Inquisitions coming up on ya. If you want more Game Chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for our past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat and search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game, and we might just read it on the show. Email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. Or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Come back next week where we're chatting about 1111 Memories Retold Part 2. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.